right, let's get into this. We better do this.
Thank the light, everyone. I am punchy Saturday afternoon, I guess. I don't know.
That's great, because it's Sunday.
And these are my wolf brothers.
You're on time, Sedai, today. First time ever.
On time and sober.
Woohoo.
Oh, no. Oh, settle okay. down. All right. Come on.
And I am the way of the leaf doesn't work.
Quit fingering your axe.
Every time I think of him, that's all I can think of when he says that. The way of the leaf doesn't work.
Jeremy's been to church. I've washed the dogs. Justin's on time. Happy Sunday.
I went to Costco, got a chicken.
Oh.
There was whiskey involved.
During?
Hell yeah.
No, not during.
Oh, okay.
No.
Wait, whiskey involved in the chicken?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just went and got a rotisserie chicken for like my sandwiches this week at my lunch.
Yeah.
It's funny because both of my kids like to make good food. When I was 20 and 22, I was like literally just shovel whatever was in front of me in my
face. Dude, think about how much fast food that we ate, bro. Like,
oh, so much.
I've had Burger King once in the last year and no other fast food. Like, I don't eat fast food anymore.
Justin used to steal my tortillas and fill them with ketchup.
Yeah, that's an affliction that runs in our family.
I would put cheese on there, too, if we had.
Would you?
Yeah, if we had some. It's called a cheesy.
If we had some. If not, it's just ketchup. He would put ketchup on everything. Pizza, mac and cheese, steak. Everything. It was just disgusting.
I still put it on a lot of stuff, but not as bad as I used to be. If I like a really nice meal with like a sauce, I'm a sauce person.
You'll add it to something now and not make it.
I'm a sauce person. So if there's a better sauce, then hot sauce, sriracha, whatever, ketchup could be involved, but it's all about that vinegary, baby.
Yeah.
It's all about the balance.
Justin's at Ruth Chris. He's like, I would like your finest of ketchups, please, to dip this steak in.
He doesn't want that homemade shit. He wants.
No, I want Heinz. Heinz and nothing else, bitch. But you know what's funny though? It's like I actually have there's other people who can confirm this. I have a really good palate. I was a chef for a long time, and it translates to cannabis a lot. And so it really helps in my job, and describing the way things act and feel and everything else. And so, but that's like my Achilles heel. Like I have a great palate, but I still want some ketchup. Knock it. Lisa, you even say she'll be like, "Come on, dude.
Come on."
And then she'll dip her duck in my ketchup.
No.
I was at a really good steakhouse recently, and I was like, "Can I get some steak sauce?" And then when she brought it, I said, "I just want you to know I'm not putting this on the steak. This is for the fries. Please tell the chef."
Don't spit in whatever else comes out, please.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Yeah, totally.
Jesus.
Any news before we get into what we're going to talk about this week? Is there anything fucking new? Anything?
Yeah, there is actually.
What?
There is, but it's not about season 2. It's about season 3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, all the news.
Oh, we're rebuilding Eamon's Field for the Battle of Eamon's Field, which happens in Shadow Rising. So, that's good. They're looking ahead. So, I mean, that's not a bad thing. It's just, God damn it. Release the Origins. They were supposed to be out in August.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate to use my squeaky voice, but Jesus.
The fact that they can't give us a date yet is still just, I'm going to rant about this every fucking episode until we just... I don't care what it is. If they're like, you know what? We're going January 24. Fine. Just tell me. Fucking say it out loud.
They got to be doing so. I don't know. The fact that they're so silent on it that some of the actors are kind of like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They're about to start filming season 3. They're already in the writer's room for season 4. Or they're starting to make notes for it, I think. Season 3 has been written, though. It's done.
Yeah. 3 is they're building sets to start filming season 3. I guess that's good news. It's season 3 is a given.
I will say it looked pretty spectacular already. So the fact that it's for sure going to get better, because obviously the budget is growing, that's exciting. So
are they going to destroy it? Like, is it a big battle that happens in Eamon's Field? Like, are they building a set to destroy?
Well, they're still kind of like rebuilding from Winter Night, because it got fucked up on Winter Night. Not as bad as what is coming, but they, every fourth or fifth house was set on fire on Winter Night. Well, obviously in the show, Winter Night was, they destroyed the inn and everything else. So they're going to be rebuilding that. And then some more shit happens, and then the town gets almost completely destroyed, and they have so many people from other places. That's one of the things they talk about. What?
The town doesn't get destroyed during the big battle. No, it doesn't get destroyed.
It's got to get fucked up a little bit, doesn't it?
No, because what they do is they build defenses all the way around it, and then they kind of break in the last second.
No, but they have attacks before that, though, don't they? I thought before Perrin gets there, they have like stuff, but and then they start rebuilding houses that are in different styles. That's the thing that I remember, is that they start building like more like Borderland style.
That's book six. Yeah, like, but that's after they're actually, what they're doing is they're building the city bigger.
Right.
Because all the people that were like kind of out on farms, they moved in town, and they're like, you know, maybe we should just start building and starting, you know, new stuff here, because we don't know.
Yeah, Des, you're going to trip actually how much things change, even just like if in just in Eamon's Field. It's like there's a lot of good stuff that happens where they're from. So
did they tear down that old, all the old stuff, the old sets?
Completely.
Why? You knew that you would have to come back.
With COVID, they probably made them. They were probably just like, get the fuck out of our country.
No, well, they destroyed a lot of it during the Battle of Winter Night, and then the stuff that was still standing, they tore down because that was going to be part of, I can't remember, that was going to be part of their entrance to the Blight, I think.
Oh, so it was in a studio. Duh, that makes sense.
And right. It was probably super small. They just built the three houses they needed.
Sure.
And, you know, there's no like...
No, it's a whole village that they built. There's overhead shot.
But did they do that for season one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there's overhead shots, and they're rebuilding the village in the exact same spot.
Wow. I bet it was COVID then that they were just like, you guys gotta just...
Well, and like I said, I think they were gonna film some other stuff there, so they tore all the shit down so they could film the other shit there, and then they couldn't go back or something, so...
So there was some outdoor shots, right? So they built an actual village, and then they built a studio village too? Or is it the whole...
It's the whole thing's outside. Yeah, the whole thing's outside. Think about when they come back to town in the daytime. None of that shit CGI. That's all, like, village.
The only thing I would think of is maybe they had, for when they did the big battle part, yeah, maybe that was inside of a studio.
Maybe, yeah.
It was a kind of a closer up close.
Like, part. Just the wine spring behind it, kind of, right. You know, yeah. Well, obviously, you know, Moraine didn't destroy it with one power, so yeah.
Obviously.
What? Duh. Magic!
All right, so what we are going to talk about is The Dragon Reborn, Chapter 15, The Gray Man. So this, I don't know, I haven't listened to anything since I went on that 12-chapter marathon. So, like, I can barely remember why I picked some of these. I think it was just interesting just because this happened.
They're all really good, though.
Yeah, and we just, and Nynaeve and Egwene just got put on the Black Aja's path that we talked about last episode. And this is already showing that, like, this is not going to be an easy task. Like, people are going to fuck with them.
And I feel like the inventory of Greymen is pretty low because you hear about them a lot for a while and then they're just gone. They don't talk about them anymore. Like, yeah. Matter of fact, I actually, trying to give you some time, I had some Audible credits and I downloaded Rosamund Pike.
Oh.
They released it a while ago, but she reads The Great Hunt, and she is getting ready to do The Dragon Reborn as well.
Oh, is she going to do, she must be doing all of them then.
I think she's going to be doing them all, but I just got The Great Hunt, one of her, and started it because the place that I was at in The Dragon Reborn, they're at an inn in Ilion, and they're like, this place doesn't feel right. Well, because it turns out one of the Forsaken in the books happens to be in power there. I don't want to spoil it, but.
Is there a guy that reads with her, or is it just her?
Just her.
It's just her. She does impressions. She's good, too.
Wow.
Yeah, remember we talked about when she did the Tinkers, she gave them Irish accents. And we were like,
oh, yeah.
And then in the show, they had Irish accents.
Tom kind of had a Scottish accent, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She would give them different accents.
But the part I was at, we had talked about it before. There's like six gray men that come after them in an inn. They're all just kind of chilling there. And like Lan and Moraine don't sense them at all. But Perrin actually can smell them.
Mm.
And he refers to when there's, I remember how I kept saying in Jara, I'm like, oh, he's smelling dark hounds. He's smelling dark hounds. He's smelling dark hounds. No, he says it's the same smell that he smelled at all those places. And it was the gray man.
Oh, okay.
But six of them come after them, like Loyal, Lan, Moraine. And like, that's when Perrin literally like stands up, rips the long leg off of a high back chair, throws the rest of the chair at him and then starts beating people to death with the fucking chair leg.
Fuck yeah.
I think this is the first mention of a gray man.
No, the tower, the tower.
This is the, that's what they're talking. It's what he's going to talk about, right? The one in the tower that,
Oh, right. Sorry. You're right.
Say that again. It's a little bit, say it a little bit louder and clearer.
I said, you are correct, sir.
You're used to it by now.
Probably just finish this whole chapter. It'll take us about 10 minutes. We'll see if it, I can't remember if it winds down a little bit. I'm starting it at 4:30, so it should be about 10 minutes. The Dragon Reborn, chapter 15, The Gray Man, starting at 4:30. Let me know. I'm going to have to, this might be really loud or not. I found it, I forgot I have another knob of adjustment. So I'm going to try to dial the volume in without compression.
I hear nothing.
Nothing.
Oh.
Is it?
I was like, are we waiting? What's going on? It's definitely not loud enough.
If I had not stopped just then, if I hadn't, the quarrel would have gone right through her.
That's loud.
That's real loud.
Super loud. Like, blow my eardrums out.
Yeah, it shocked me to not speaking, so.
Blood and ashes. Blood and bloody ashes.
But now I can't hear it.
Images of her head being ripped apart.
Okay. Stop it again. The Dragon Reborn, Chapter 15, The Gray Man, 4:14. Because I'm done fucking with this.
Something tugged at her hair, stung her ear. A black blur streaked in front of her face to clang against the wall, and in the next breath, Nynaeve was bearing her to the gallery floor, behind the railing. Wide-eyed and sprawling, Egwene stared at what lay on the stone in front of her door, where it had fallen, a bolt from a crossbow. A few dark strands from her hair were tangled in the four heavy prongs, meant for punching through armor. She raised a trembling hand to touch her ear, to touch the tiniest nick, damp with a bead of blood. If I had not stopped just then, if I hadn't, the quarrel would have gone right through her head, and would probably have killed Nynaeve, too. Blood and ashes! Blood and bloody ashes! She lay peering between the white stone balusters toward the far side of the galleries. A glow surrounded her, to Egwene's eyes. She had embraced Sidar. Hastily, Egwene tried to reach out for the One Power too, but at first, haste defeated her. She took a deep breath and tried again, and finally the rose floated in nothingness, open to the true source, and the power filled her. She rolled onto her stomach to peer through the railing beside Nynaeve. Do you see anything? Do you see him? I'll put a lightning bolt through him. She could feel it building, pressing on her to loose it. It is a man, isn't it? She could not imagine a man coming into the novice's quarters, but it was impossible to picture a woman carrying a crossbow through the tower. Quiet anger filled Nynaeve's voice. I thought I saw... Yes, there. Egwene felt the power pulse in the other woman, and then Nynaeve was unhurriedly getting to her feet, brushing at her dress as if there were nothing more to worry about. What did you do, Nynaeve? Of the five powers, Nynaeve said in a lecturing tone, faintly mocking. Air, sometimes called wind, is thought by many to be of the least use. This is far from true. I told you there were other ways to defend ourselves. I used air, to hold him with air. If it is a he, I could not see him clearly. A trick the Amarlin showed me once, though I doubt she expected me to see how it was done. Egwene scrambled up to hurry after her around the gallery. Before long, a man did come into sight around the curve, dressed in plain brown breeches and coat. He stood facing the other way, balanced on the ball of one foot, with the other hanging in mid-air as if he had been caught in the middle of running. The man would feel as if he were buried in thick jelly, yet it was nothing but air stiffened around him. Egwene remembered the Amarlin's trick, too, but she did not think she could duplicate it. Nynaeve only had to see a thing done once to know how to do it herself, when she could manage to channel at all, of course. The hilt of a dagger stood out from the man's chest. His face sagged, and death had already filmed his half-closed eyes. He crumpled to the gallery floor as Nynaeve loosed the trap that had held him. He was an average-appearing man of average height and average build, with features so ordinary Egwene did not think she would have noticed him in a group of three. She only studied him a moment, though, before realizing that something was missing. A crossbow. There had to be another one, Nynaeve. Somebody took the crossbow, and somebody stabbed him. He could be out there, ready to shoot at us again. Calm yourself, Nynaeve said. Just be calm and we will figure out what to... Her words cut off at the sound of steps on the ramp leading up to their level. Shiryam Sadai stopped at the top of the ramp, frowning at what she saw. What in the name of the light has happened here? She hurried forward, her serenity gone for once. We found him, Nynaeve said as the mistress of novices knelt beside the corpse. Shiryam put a hand to the man's chest and jerked it back twice as fast, hissing. Steeling herself visibly, she touched him again and maintained the touch longer. Dead, she muttered. As dead as it is possible to be and more. You found him? Here? Like this? Egwene nodded, sure that if she spoke, Shiryam would hear the lie in her voice. We did, Nynaeve said firmly. Shiryam shook her head. A man? A dead man at that in the novice's quarters would be scandal enough. But this, what makes him different? Nynaeve asked. And how could he be more than dead? He is one of the soulless. A gray man. The soulless? Egwene said, a tremor in her voice, at the same time that Nynaeve said, a gray man? Shiryam glanced at them, a look as penetrating as it was brief. Not a part of your studies yet, but you seem to have gone beyond the rules in a great many ways. And considering you found this, she gestured to the corpse. The soulless, the gray men, give up their souls to serve the Dark One as assassins. They are not really alive after that. Not quite dead, but not truly alive. And despite the name, some gray men are women. A very few. Even among Dark Friends, only a handful of women are stupid enough to make that sacrifice. You can look right at them and hardly notice them until it is too late. He was as much as dead while he walked. Now only my eyes tell me that what is lying there ever lived at all. No gray man has dared enter Tar Valon since the Trolloc Wars. What will you do? Egwene asked. Shiryam's brows rose, and she quickly added, If I may ask, Shiryam Sedai. The Aes Sedai hesitated. I suppose you may, since you had the bad luck to find him. It will be up to the Ammerlin seat. But with everything that has happened, I believe she will want to keep this as quiet as is possible. We do not need more rumors. You will speak of this to none but me, or to the Ammerlin, should she mention it first. There will be no hiding the fact that a man was killed here. The glow of the One Power suddenly surrounded her, and just as abruptly, a long, low dome covered the body on the floor, grayish and so opaque that it was hard to see there was a body under it. But this will keep anyone else from touching him who can discover his nature. I must have this removed before the novices come back. You two go now. To your room, I think, Nynaeve. Considering what you are already facing, if it became known you were involved in this, even on the edge of it, go. Egwene curtsied and tugged at Nynaeve's sleeve, but Nynaeve said, Why did you come up here, Shiryam Sedai? For a moment, Shiryam looked startled, but on the instant she frowned. Fists on her hips, she regarded Nynaeve with all the firmness of her office. Does the Mistress of Novices now need an excuse for coming to the Novices' quarters, accept it? She said softly. Do accept it now, question Aes Sedai? The Ammerlin means to make something of you two, but whether she does or not, I will teach you manners at least. Now the pair of you go, before I haul you down to my study, and not for the appointment the Ammerlin seat has already set for you. A sudden thought came to Egwene. Forgive me, Shiryam Sedai, she said quickly, but I must fetch my cloak. I feel cold. She rushed away around the gallery before the Aes Sedai could speak. If Shiryam found that crossbow bolt in front of her door, there would be too many questions. No pretending they had only found the man, that he had no connection to her then. But when she reached the door to her room, the heavy bolt was gone. Only the jagged chip in the stone beside the door said it had ever been there. Egwene's skin crawled. How could anyone take it without one of us seeing? Another gray man. The use of the One Power was divided into the five powers. Earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. Different talents require different combinations of the five powers. I don't understand some of the ways the five powers are combined. Take healing. I can see why it requires spirit and maybe air, but why water? Nynaeve rounded on her. What are you babbling about? Have you forgotten what we're doing? She looked around. Have you forgotten the Black Aja? I'm trying to forget it, Egwene said fiercely. For a little while, anyway. I am trying to forget that we just left a dead man. I'm trying to forget that he almost killed me, and that he has a companion who might try it again. We are lucky we aren't both dead right now. Nynaeve's face softened, but when she spoke, her voice held something of the time when she had been the wisdom of Emmons Field, saying words that had to be said for someone's own good. Remember that body, Egwene. Remember that he tried to kill you. Kill us. Remember the Black Aja. Remember them all the time. Because if you forget, just once, the next time it may be you lying dead. I know, Egwene sighed, but I do not have to like it. Did you notice what Shiryam did not mention? No, what? She never wondered who stabbed him. Now come on, my room is just down here and you can put your feet up while we talk.
So are gray men just normal people that can't become like the Eyeless or anything like hardcore, so they just give their soul to whatever evil doing they can?
Yeah, they really want to serve the Dark One, and then that's one way that you can do it. You can become a gray man, and it's like not easy, obviously.
Are you just a puppet at that point, or are you
sort of like a bloodhound?
You're just a bad dude.
You're an assassin. You can walk into places most people don't. They just don't see you. It's a weird thing. It's not that they don't see you. It's just they refuse to. Your brain like refuses to recognize that there's someone there.
They just seem so ordinary that you just look right past them.
Yeah.
Well, and that's not the golem is different, right? Towards the end, there's only a couple of those.
It's like it's like Meg from Arrested. It all comes back to Arrested Development. You met her like four times. Yeah, totally. I don't think I have, son. He likes to take an egg and put it in his mouth and smash it up and then squeeze mayonnaise into it. It's so adorable.
I've been watching so much Arrested Development since we last recorded. Have you guys watched the Mysterious Benedict Society?
Uh-uh. I've never even heard of it.
Oh my god. It's so rad to watch it just to see Buster. And he plays twins. So you get to see a lot of Buster.
I love that dude. Oh, you know what? I totally forgot. So Gray Men, they go to the same school that Buster goes to so they can be not seen and not heard.
Jesus.
Buster's a gray man.
Oops, Buster's a gray man. Who do we think the target was? Was it Egwene?
Oh, he wants to talk about the Wheel of Time again. Whatever. All right. All jeez. Right.
He probably wanted both of them, right? I mean, if he had gotten one, he would have went after the other.
He was trying to go for the headshot pass through, the Deadpool style.
Yeah. And is it, I know I'm getting into spoilery stuff, but I'm guessing it wasn't a gray man who took the bolt. I'm guessing it was a sister trying to protect them.
That was my next question. Do you think it was a sister, another gray man? I was going to say probably a sister. Could have been the sister they were talking to. Who knows?
Justin and I, Justin and I kind of know that. I mean, I'm assuming that you're thinking the same person that I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Actually stabbed the gray man too, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I was kind of like, well, you know, did she have time to do that?
Well,
with them not seeing or, you know, not.
So she's coming up the stairs. She could have just like ran down the stairs and turned around and ran back up the stairs. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to try to make this look really
well. Tiptoe. Doo, 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 doo,
doo. So it isn't just a coincidence that Shiryam is there, is what we're saying.
Maybe.
yes. No?
No spoilers?
I don't know.
Well, I think we can. I think
I believe on this podcast before you've heard me say fuck Shiryam for no you know particular reason. So
that's right.
It's not just because she's a mean mistress of novices. Okay, she sucks.
It might have been the last episode that you heard it too.
Or the one before that and the one before that.
Yeah.
That's our new hashtag Billy Zane is Asmodian. Hashtag fuck Shiryam.
It's funny. That's not something you find out till what? Like how far in? 12? 13?
6 or 7? No, I don't know. They're still in Salidar, aren't they? No.
No.
She goes back. Yeah, it's
way
10 or way. Yeah, dude, it's yeah.
So do we think Shiryam stabbed him to cover her own tracks?
I mean, it could be her, could be another Black Aja. I mean,
I think in my opinion, so she stabs him, right? Runs down the stairs, turns around, comes back up the stairs. Hey, what's going on? And then as she's putting.
Yeah, it's awfully coincidental that she shows up that fast.
Yeah. And then as she's putting she's channeling to put the thing, the dome over it, you know, to make it, to obscure it.
Yeah.
She can also maybe take the arrow and hide it when they're not looking.
Oh.
But I don't. They would have seen that happen though, probably.
Not if they're like, it's the old bait and switch. Oh, look over here.
Boop. Right.
And then it just, you know, she could probably just turn it to dust or, you know, hide it.
She pulled a David Copperfield. She's like, look at the dome, look at the dome, look at the dome, don't look at the arrow.
I can't believe you just made a David Copperfield thing because what I said earlier when I was like, oh, magic, that's from Scrubs. And JD's at the bar talking to David Copperfield. And he like makes something disappear. And then JD's like, oh, and then David Copperfield's face is, oh, magic. It's like, I can't.
That's
it's
true.
So funny that
I remember that episode.
It's so funny that you just said David Copperfield, though, because I didn't say anything. Anyways.
Can you channel like through walls and around corners, or would she have to see the bolt in order to disintegrate it?
I think you can, but it's much more difficult.
Okay. But if she knows where it is,
or
she could see it in her mind's eye, and
or if it's completely metal and she's adept at, like, Egwene is very adept at sensing like ores and minerals and metals, like if you could sense the metal, maybe you could do something.
I'm trying to think of a time, though, when anybody channels something. Like, say there's a room and you know there's a chair in there.
You usually need to see, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think that they would ever, that I can't think of an instance in the books where that ever happened, where someone's like, there's a room, you can't see in it.
No, unless they're just, there's like, I know there's people in there and I'm just going to blow this fucking wall and just, I'm just going to just blow this wall through this room and just everyone in there is going to die. You know, it's that, it's not like they can sneak it around the corner and kill people. Rand does some shit like that at one point when he kills.
Open a vision into the next room and then he can see the chair.
Not really. Not without opening you could open a gate. You could open a gateway, but then you're also, they could see you too. And then you're just as, there is some shit later that happens during a battle where some gateways get open in a very small proximity and some shit goes down. But you're just as vulnerable. Like, it's like, oh, hey, I'm here now, basically.
Okay, they can shoot through the gate. also.
You could get messed up. So that wouldn't be. Yeah. And they definitely, like Jeremy said, they can't snake it around corners or anything.
I mean, you could, but you'd be doing it blind. And I don't think that I don't think they'd be able to do anything.
So someone, do we ever find out who grabs the bolt?
No, I don't think so.
Well, and it just shows how invisible they are. There's just like a man wouldn't even be able to come in here, period. And the fact that he's an actual man is there shows how, yeah, easy it is for them to just kind of be invisible. So
how buster they are.
Such a buster.
You're a stone cold buster.
I'm like, why would you ever call air wind? It's like, this is not the last airbender. I mean, I don't, that's stupid. They don't really say that.
I mean, I guess, well, if you're using air to, because they do use air to like blow wind and hold people.
Yeah, I use air to make wind. I don't know.
I also use my butthole to make wind. I mean, what's
the... I use salt to season steak. It's the finished product.
I was just talking to Kelly about that. We watch way too many cooking shows. And I'm like, why do they always say seasoning when they just mean salt? Yeah. Like, they always mean salt. They're not telling you to put fucking garlic powder on. Like, season. Oh, just salt it.
Salt and pepper, mostly.
That's it.
You sound more chefly if you say season. If you just say salt, then everybody can do it.
Everybody just goes like this. Oh, salt. Oh, why is it so salty? Because you don't need that much.
Just a little butter and salt.
You get to see their kind of natural ability, like when Nynaeve's like, I just need to see something done once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like there are a lot of people in the tower that, you know, whether they're strength is low or high, they struggle to learn weaves. It's like, yeah, you could be really smart, but trigonometry is really tough for you. Like, there are people that struggle and have to practice those weaves over and over and then still mess them up. And Egwene, Nynaeve, Elaine, Rand is like that too. When they see something done once, it's like, I got it.
Well, Rand just needs to hear about it. It sounds like, hey, you could do this if you wanted to.
Yeah, some of that I think is his old Lutheran, like his connection with Lutheran and stuff. It's just, but it's natural instinct, however you want to.
Yeah, Rand even says a couple times when he's doing it, he does something once and then he goes, well, now I can do it again because I've done it once, even though he didn't know what he was doing the first time.
And he still doesn't even know what he was doing after he does it, but he's like, well, I can do that again if I ever need it, but I don't know what to, I don't know what to call it or whatever. You know? I guess that was another question. I was going to say this. Was there two Grey Men, or was it just, you know, a certain Aes Sedai or some other Aes Sedai getting rid of the, stabbing him and then getting rid of the...
I'm so surprised it wasn't Elaine. That just, like I said, she's in the fold. She knows shit's going down. I feel like she could have been around a corner and just been, but if they don't say it, then...
Yeah, I mean, you would hear about it if that happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hey, by the way, you'd find it in her room or something. Just, hey, what are you doing with that crossbow bolt? Don't worry about it.
You guys seem like you were in a tight spot, so I just snatched it.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot. That was just kind of an interesting chapter. I like that I think this is the first time they spell out what the five powers are.
Yeah, in the books, I think, really. I think Moraine says something about it, like, when she's first talking to like Egwene about it, but it's like it lands a little bit different now because you have some reference for, and you've seen more channeling at this point. So,
and then are the more powerful Aes Sedai ones that can mix powers? Like, is that something that not every Aes Sedai can do? Like, I can do water or air, but I got to focus on one of them. Or do they all just kind of like have to pick the power they're going to use at that point?
So, yeah, traditionally, men are stronger in fire and earth, and women are stronger in water and air, and then they both share spirit equally. Yeah, so guys can do more stuff with fire and earth, more powerful stuff. Like, there's a scene that'll come up where Rand is doing like all this crazy stuff at once, and he makes a big fire because he's like trying to show off for the girls because they were doing something.
Yeah.
And so he makes a fire in the fireplace. And then he puts it out really fast. And the girls are like, how did you put it out so fast? He goes, I just took the fire into me and then I put it into the rocks and dispersed it. And they're like, they're just like blown away. They're like,
you can't do that. You'll die. We'll burst into flame. Like, it's like, that's not how it works.
And he's like, yeah, I can do it. No problem. And the girls are like, if we try to do that, like put out a candle, it'll like blister us. So there's certain things that are different. Yeah.
Oh.
And I don't know if there's an opposite, like where they in the books where they talk about a woman can do something that a guy can't do. I'm sure there is, but it doesn't come to mind because I just read that whole scene.
Well, they don't. It doesn't come up a lot, too.
True.
And all the men that can still channel are just so fucking powerful. Like, there's no, like, just random dudes.
Once you get later into it and there's more men channeling, you realize that that's not entirely true.
But right now, in his books, they are. It is.
Because there are, you know, like, but Egwene is very strong in Earth, though. You know, and like, when she's not as strong as, like, so she's very strong in Earth and Fire, even though she's female.
Right.
But I wonder if there are still certain rules, like, you know, you can't do that, you know, putting out the fire.
It's probably she's strong in Earth, but for a woman who maybe is not going to be as strong as like a guy who's maybe not as
average strength dude would still be stronger in Earth and Fire than her, I guess, and would be much, much weaker in water and air. You know, that's fair. Why do you think that? So I, you know, looking back on it now, you know, having hindsight obviously is always better, but why would Shiriam even tell them it was a Grey Man? Because they have no fucking clue that it's a Grey Man. It could have just been a Dark Friend. Why would she go through the trouble to say that? It's like, it's almost kind of like a low key flex. Like, you don't, you know, like there's no reason for her to declare that it was a Grey Man. None whatsoever. Like I listened to this like 3 times. I was like, just explain that it's a dark friend assassin. We don't know how he got in. And they wouldn't have questioned it, I don't think. Maybe they would have amongst themselves, but not to her.
Yeah, now they have an answer.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Short answer, honestly, Robert Jordan hadn't decided what Shiriam was going to be in book 3. So he's trying to leave it ambiguous, and that's, in my opinion, that's probably what it was. She gives him a lot of information, so you're like, well, she gave a lot of information. But then at the end, Nynaeve goes, you know what she didn't ask? How he got there? What was this? Who stabbed him? She never asked who stabbed him. So now you're like, well, is she a Dark Friend, or is she not a Dark Friend?
Yeah, I suppose. That's all I got, man.
Yeah, let's wrap it up so we can get to the next episode without going too long, thanks to my late start.
Yeah, because I'm actually really excited about the next episode.
Yeah!
I think there's a lot to unpack. I love Matt, so anything Matt-centric is...
Thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us, like us, tell a friend about our show. Thank the light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. Fatty is doing a great job of being on Twitter and retweeting some good stuff. So if you want to see the highlights online, then at Parsailman is a great one to follow. Send us questions and comments and your concerns about season 2 of The Wheel of Time. Send those to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy, spirituality, time travel, movies, fitness and nutrition, and awesome women in the form of All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Time, Pop, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts. We're doing tonight, doing a double Sunday. I'm recording a podcast about Time Freak for Time Pop that I laughed at it really hard, mostly because the oldest brother from The New Vacation is in there, and I fucking love him so much, and he's kind of the comic relief for this.
He's in Santa Clarita Diet, too. He's the neighbor kid.
Oh, really?
He's so funny in that, God, too.
I'll watch that just for him. All right. Oh, that was a great outro. I love it. And don't forget, Grey Men are busters.
I will load my tobacco pipe now for episode 2.
And since we're going to keep going, I will quote the great Buster Bluth and say, oh, we're just going to blow it right through nap time, huh?
Man, I've watched so many of those stupid deepfake videos. I can't get them out of my head. Shut the fuck up, Anakin. My old master. Shut the fuck up, Anakin. It's like so perfect.
I'm watching some of the pictures and some of the video that you were talking about where they're rebuilding the sets. Can you imagine building all of that and then having them tear it down when you're done?
Hey, now build it again, but a little bit different. Like, God damn it.
I mean, I know that when you're building it, it's like not meant for human occupation. You know, you're not supposed to.
You gotta think these guys are set designers and stuff like that. They're not like, oh man, I'm building, you know, houses for Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah. Well, it's still though, you're a carpenter, and so building all this stuff and putting pride into it, and then like, all right, grab that bulldozer, just go right through the middle of town. I am not average. I am not ordinary. I am a masterpiece. You know I do it for me.
right when we got done recording, and I was, you know, I'm not going to say shitty, but, you know, I feel good by the end of the podcast, generally speaking. I'm not a fan of this Sunday day shit because I can't get a fucking trash and then go to bed.
We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I already got everything I needed to do today done, so boom. I mean, I didn't say I wasn't drinking.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Lisa's outside. She's yelling at her. She's got my lightsaber in her hand. And I'm like, what are you doing? And so